Good evening. Began last week talking about morality. I talked about who has the authority in morality. Who decides what's moral and what's not, and what we need to do about it. And, you know, as I thought I'd do a little series on morality and talking about different moral issues. And as I thought about it, the first thing that came to my mind is it was sexual immorality, because it's such a problem in our world today. It's so overwhelming. It's really a moral issue that's faced by every Christian of just about any age. And it's one that the Bible has a whole lot to say. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18, it says to flee sexual immorality. Run away from it. Don't stand there and look at it and think about it and try to, you know, well, I think I'll just not do it. Run away from it. Flee, and that word that's in the original, that's flee, is one of tremendous emphasis. Get away from it, as far away as you can get. And folks, I'm going to tell you, the admonition to flee sexual morality is as needed today as it ever was in Corinth. It's something that just is overwhelming, particularly with young people and the difficulties that they face. You know, you think about how morality is being redefined and changed and loosely defined even when it's redefined. It's just almost impossible to get away from sexual immorality imposing itself on your life. And I believe it encourages many people to engage in sexual immorality. Now, before we start any topic like this, I like to give a definition of what I'm talking about. You know, you can throw sexual immorality out to some people, and that has one picture in their mind, and you say it to somebody else, it's got another picture in their mind. I'd like us all to have the same picture. So we're going to start and particularly talk about the basic concept from God's viewpoint. Because it really doesn't matter how I define it, how the courts define it, or how you define it. What we're concerned about is, how does God define what we're supposed to flee from? Well, in that text, 1 Corinthians 6:18, where it says to flee from sexual immorality, the word sexual immorality there is the word porneia. And you know, we can certainly see what comes from that. Pornography. So it's porneia. Now, it's defined a little different when the Greeks use it than the way we would use it. Because the Complete Word Study Dictionary, and this is a quote, it's used generally to refer to any sexual sin. Anything. It's broad a term as you want to think about when you think about sexual sins. Now, Thayer, in his Greek dictionary, And again, this is a quote, it's illicit sexual intercourse, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, even intercourse with animals. That's all included in that porneia that we're supposed to flee from. And you think it was a problem today? Let me give you some quotes from first century. I'm first going to quote from Demosthenes, who was a famous writer of that time, about the attitude toward adultery. As he said, we keep mistresses for pleasure, concubines for day-to-day needs of the body, but we have wives in order to produce children legitimately and to have a trustworthy guardian of our house. Now, that's how they thought about adultery. Seneca, another writer of that time, talking about divorce, said Roman women, and this is a quote, were married to be divorced and were divorced to be married. Some of them distinguished years not by the names of the kings, but by the names of their husband. This is the third year I've been with George, as opposed to the king had been around for so many years. What an awful attitude. What a terrible way to look at things. Well, Suetonius wrote about the family, and he says Caligula, lived in incest with his sister Drusilla. And the lust of Nero didn't even spare his own mother. His own mother. Homosexuality, Lucian says, another writer, that it's better not to need marriage, but to follow Plato and Socrates and to be content with the love of boys. Plato and Socrates. Now, God's got a little different viewpoint than that. As a matter of fact, God's got a great big different viewpoint than that. His disdain for sexual immorality is shown in many, many different ways. There are seven lists of evil in the writings of Paul where he talks about all the different things, just lists them out. And out of these seven, porneia is in five. And in all five that it's in, it's the very first one. The very first one. And let me tell you, folks, it doesn't take a great deal of insight. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that porneia is all through our culture today. Just get your newspaper out and look at the titles of the names of some of the television shows. Starter Wives, the Housewives of Orange County, and on and on and on and on and on it goes. It's just overwhelming. Adultery in our society today is almost considered inevitable. I mean, it's going to happen. Everybody does it, don't they? I mean, it's accepted by many, many people that that's okay if my mate commits adultery. And divorce is, you know, that's so rampant that it's just overwhelming. Families have been torn apart by incest and adultery and divorce. I mean, even homosexuality is just considered an alternative lifestyle. So much so that state after state after state is approving same-sex marriages, they call them. The New York State, their governor, just proposed a bill last week to allow that. Porneia. Flee from it. Why? Why not enjoy it? Why not partake in it? Why not do the things that much of the world is doing? Well, I think right at the top of the list is it destroys the body. It literally destroys the body through bacterial STDs like chlamydia and syphilis and gonorrhea, and through viral STDs like AIDS, genital herpes, hepatitis B. And by the way, those last ones, they don't have any cures for those. Matter of fact, we haven't been able to cure anything that's viral yet. Destroys the body. Many people have learned that the hard way. Let's look in the book of Proverbs for a moment. And I'm going to look at chapter 5. And I'm going to start with verse number 11. Says, and you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised correction? I've not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. Solomon's son had been to a state that he looked back on his life and said, why didn't I listen to Dad? Why didn't I listen to the folks that told me that this was bad for me? It was going to destroy my life and destroy my health and destroy my happiness. And you know something, folks? He's not the last one that's done that. He's not the last one. Literally thousands of people right here in Franklin County can look back at their lives and say, why didn't I listen when somebody told me? Now I have AIDS. Now I have the different genital herpes and all of the other diseases, the STDs that go along with porneia. But it not only destroys the body, it also destroys the home. Marriages are intended for life. That's not something that, you know, you get in and get out of and change partners every time you get the urge to. But marriages are often broken by porneia, by sexual immorality. Look in Matthew, the 19th chapter, starting with verse 4. Have you not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Listen close. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. God intended for a marriage to be for life. When sexual immorality comes into the picture, so many times that marriage is destroyed right there. Paul counsels folks that there is a way to handle the sexual urges that we have. It's called marriage. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 and 2. And he tells us that singleness is not wrong if you have that kind of control. As a matter of fact, he says it's better. But if you don't, you better do something. Because that's the only way that can legitimately be handled. So what do we do when we think about sexual immorality? Well, look in Romans 6. Starting with verse 2. We'll start with verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we're buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that the old man was crucified him, that the body of sin should be done away, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we'll also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Don't present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. We need to forge ahead. Whatever we have done in the past, we need to ask for forgiveness, and then we need to live righteous. We need to recognize that we're dead to the sin, that we're not to participate in that kind of thing anymore. Dead to sin. Dead, particularly in this case, to the sin of sexual immorality. Going over to the 8th chapter, starting with verse 12, said, therefore, brethren, we're debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, you will put to death the deeds of the body, so that you will live. Romans 8, 12 and 13. Is it an easy thing to break away from sexual immorality? Absolutely not. But we have the power of the Spirit, as we just read here. If you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. Many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. The help is there to put to death the sinful deeds of the body. We cannot allow them to continue. Go over to the book of Galatians, and something that our society just about totally denies, we're supposed to have self-control. Yes, God expects us to be able to control our self. Galatians 6 or 5, 16 and following. And I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so you do not walk in the things you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, but the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness. By the way, fornication there is porneia. Lewdness, adultery, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outrage, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I told you before, as I also tell you now, in the time past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We need to know that God expects us to control those things. Now, by myself? No. I've got the power of God. I've got the power of the Holy Spirit. I've got the power of the Word to help me. Look in Ephesians 3. Verse 16, and then we're going to jump a couple verses over and catch verse 20. Paul's desire for them was that God would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Verse 20, now to Him who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What God is saying, don't tell me you can't. You can if you will. Is it easy? No. Can it be done? Yes. Must it be done? Yes. Do I have to do it alone? No. I have the one who can do everything abundantly above all that I can think or that I can ask to strengthen me when I fight that problem. I mean, you know, in Christ, we can do all things that Christ desires for us. Philippians 4:13. Paul said, I can do all things. Now, that's not all things. He can't be a nuclear physicist. There wasn't such a thing in that day and time. Doesn't mean that he can be a race car driver or a fullback on a football team, but it means he can do all things that Christ wants him to do. He can, and we can. He gives us all the tools that we need if we'll just utilize them. If we'll just utilize prayer and we'll utilize the study of God's Word. Look in again in the third chapter of Ephesians, in verse 16, where he tells us that we can be strengthened with might. And look in the 6th chapter in verse 17, that we can take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have the tools. We have the help. We have the ability. And we have the command to flee from sexual immorality. We need to prevent the devastating effects of sexual immorality, not only in our lives, but in everybody that we can influence. We need to be willing to stand up and say, that's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. God's Word says that's wrong. God's will for us is to abstain from sexual immorality, 1 Thessalonians 4 in verse number 3. Paul's admonition is to flee from it. Not only to abstain from it, but to run away from it. It's too powerful. It's too powerful. Sexual immorality is much too serious to be taken lightly. But that's what happens in our society. I mean, how many comedians would be out of business if they couldn't make jokes about sexual immorality? I mean, just flat out of business. Nothing to talk about. If we just put it out of our lives, because it'll destroy your body, it'll destroy your home, and it'll destroy your soul. That's pretty serious stuff. Those are some of the most valuable things that you could possibly have. But the good news is forgiveness is possible. The good news is that God will forgive. The bad news is that sometimes the physical consequences of sin remain. AIDS isn't going to go away because you quit. Genital herpes are not going to go away. Hepatitis B, you're going to have to fight those the rest of your life. But being separated from God is not necessary. He is more than willing to accept us back. But I want to tell you, to flee from sexual immorality, we need to have the strength of Joseph, who was able to look at this woman right in the eye that said, I'm yours, take me, and say, no, that's a sin against God. Not her husband, who had put Joseph in control of his house. He jumped right to the top of the ladder. He said, that's a sin against God. Sin against God, I'm not going to do that. That's wrong to do. We need to have the wisdom of Solomon as he could tell his son. You know, there's going to come a time when you'll regret not listening. Which tells me he told him. He instructed his son. But you know, sometimes our kids don't always do what we want them to do. Maybe you haven't learned that yet, but you will. And maybe one of the best ways to learn that is to look back in your life and say, you know, I haven't always done what mom and dad would have wanted me to do either. We need to have that kind of wisdom. And then we need to have the penitence, the repentance of David when it's necessary. 1 Samuel 11 and 12 is the story of David and Bathsheba. He saw her, he wanted her, he took her. The consequence of that was the murder of her husband, the death of their son. And Nathan, as he looked him in the eye, and told him that he had taken somebody else's lamb. And David got angry. He said, who did this? And Nathan said, thou art the man. You're the one. You know what David's response to that was? Read the 51st Psalm. He said, I've sinned against God. And he asked God to wash him clean. He asked God to cleanse him. He asked God to give him the strength to turn from the sin that's in his life. We need to make sure that we understand that that kind of power is there if we need it today. We need to have that kind of a tender heart. Look in 1 Corinthians 6, starting with verse number 9. And I'm going to read 10 and 11. David says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, who are these unrighteous you're talking about, David? That's a pretty broad term. What do you mean by that? He says, do not be deceived, neither fornicators, neither porneia, nor adulterers. He's first in line, by the way. Nor adulterers or adulterers, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals or sodomites or thieves or covetous or drunkards or revilers or distortion shall inherit the kingdom of God. It's just not going to happen. I'm so thankful this passage doesn't end right there. It goes on to say, and such were some of you. Past tense, were. Now they're Christians. Now they're among the saved. He says, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. May 1 Corinthians 6, First Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 give us the strength to be able to flee from sexual immorality. May it give us the strength to encourage those about us to flee from sexual immorality. May it give us the strength to stand up and say to our legislators, to those about us, we need to get immorality out of our existence today. It cannot be and be pleasing to God. We need to abstain from immorality. But thanks be to God, He's given us the way back to Him. If you need to come back tonight, you certainly are more than welcome. If you've never been immersed for the forgiveness of your sins, you'll never have more time than right now. Having once done that, you need to walk that narrow way. And if you wandered off into the crooked paths of sexual immorality, you need to come back. You need to be washed in the blood of Christ again. You need to come in prayer, because the God stands with open arms saying, please come, won't you come tonight, while we stand and while we sing.